105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of the program here with Faxon and John on the Roar on a Tuesday. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or the Adams Co-Roofing text line. We're talking college football. We're wrapping back to a couple of the big-time games from this past weekend. And, John, right now, I want to talk about one of the craziest games I've seen in ages. 41-40 in South Bend, Indiana. Goodness gracious. Number one, if you've never been to South Bend and done the game day experience at Notre Dame, and keep in mind, like, I hate Notre Dame more than arguably any, and I've never hid from that either. I hate Notre Dame more than arguably any team in college football. Like, I despise these guys. I think they get every advantage. I think they've got the cushiest life ever. That's the best game day experience in college football, arguably. There's an argument to be
really?
Made. There's an argument to be made the best game day experience in college football is at Notre Dame. And I don't know if I just got it on the right day, if that makes sense, because number three, Clemson, was coming into town, and they got an early lead, and they got the crowd roaring. But, John, I'll tell you, from everything from the intro video to the way that the anticipation built up to touchdown Jesus to the aura of just kind of the whole campus and the vibe at Notre Dame, as much as I hate their football team, that was, I will forever remember how cool that experience was at Notre Dame. So the crowd was jumping, and it was an awesome game to watch for that reason. Marcel Reed with 17 completions out of 37 attempts, but puts up 360 and two touchdowns. Le'Veon Moss, one of the best backs in the country, 20 carries for 81 yards and three tutties. Jeremiah Love, he's sleeping well on the other side, as well as Jadarian Price. They combined for over 140 yards rushing and three touchdowns themselves. And C.J. Carr continues to look a little bit better than anticipated. But unfortunately for Notre Dame, where they were on the right side of so many of these type of games last year, where it was down to the wire and it felt like they just found a way to win, that pendulum's kind of swung back in the wrong direction twice so far this season. They've lost two games at the buzzer to Miami and Texas A&M now, essentially. So thoughts on Texas A&M getting a win at the Horn, 41-40, with a big time throw from Reed and a massive catch by the big tight end?
It was a very, very gutsy performance. I really think that when Bryce Anderson went down for Texas A&M, I think that is what was the rallying cry. And he's good. He's healthy. He put out a statement on Sunday saying, I'm all good. Thank you for the prayers. Shout out to the guys for getting the job done. So first and foremost, glad to know that he's okay and he's going to be doing all right. But I think that was like kind of the motivating thing you needed to propel you through that game. It was an incredible environment, incredible game. I mean, that final drive was insane. Mario Craver, hello. I was not familiar with your
game. Yeah.
Or you individually, let alone your game. Tip of the cap, young man.
He's got 20 grabs for 443 yards and four touchdowns already this season. Everybody came into the year, myself included, thinking that Concepcion was going to be the alpha in that room. And the crazy thing, John, is he's kept Concepcion, but he's better at all the things that Concepcion does well. It's like they've cloned Concepcion in College Station. They've got two of the guy.
Oh, gosh. That's the last thing we need is A&M to start cloning things. it was a very gutsy performance. You did what you need to do to get it done. We'll get to Notre Dame side of here in just a second, because Texter 6069 gets in with a question that I had a lot all day yesterday and on Sunday. But I'm fascinated here that we have these big shootout offensive games, like we talked about Georgia and Tennessee earlier in hour one, and we saw this here. With the teams here, I would have thought this would have been more of a defensive-laden game.
Agreed.
With the two coaches you have involved, with, quite frankly, the quarterbacks you have in this game, I would have thought this would have been a more defensive, low-scoring, you know, time-of-possession type of game, and it just wasn't.
You got Marcus Freeman and Mike Elko, dude. That's about as defensive as you can get in a head coaching matchup, and it was 41-40.
I think that, like, my read on how the script was going to go was very wrong. Got the pick right, but my read on how this thing was going to go was very wrong. So I thought C.J. Carr responded well after the bye week. I was a little worried about Notre Dame having one game a bye and then another big game with nothing in the middle. But I thought he did a good job. I thought Mike Denbrock understood the assignment a little bit more in this game in terms of getting the best running back in the country the football a ton, and they did that here by giving Jeremiah Love 23 carries on the day.
Yeah.
I think that offensive line still has a ways to go, but I thought there was improvement made by both of these teams going into this game. A&M was very impressive, but Texter 6069 gets in with a question that I just can't wrap my head around. How is Notre Dame still ranked at 0-2?
Oh, you must have not gotten the SEC pamphlet. These are quality losses. These are quality losses to top 10 teams.
Oh, that's right. They're quality losses.
Yeah, these are quality losses. So those actually mean more than winning. And we only apply this for about 15 teams in the country. Most play in the SEC, a couple Big Ten, and then Notre Dame gets that benefit of the doubt as well. So, yeah, we'll send you the quota on the next email from Greg Sankey about propaganda texter, and we'll get you in the loop on that. So that's our fault on our end. But in all seriousness, I don't know. This is part of the reason I do complain about this football team, even with the respect I have for their coach. And again, I love the game day experience. I've got nothing bad to say about South Bend or Notre Dame, the school. I think that they get every single freaking advantage in this sport. Like, everything is catered to Notre Dame, and the AP poll and the bias that's prevalent with that is a large part of that for me. Now, let's have a conversation, because Texer gets in and says, is Notre Dame eliminated from the playoff? 654 Roar is the number. This is an interesting one for me. This is kind of a weird one to gauge for me, because I want to say yes, and I want to say that they should be eliminated, because, again, this is part of the problem I have. The rest of their schedule, Purdue, at Arkansas, Boise State, NC State, Southern Cal, their last five games are a freaking joke. At Boston College, Navy, at Pitt, Syracuse, at Stanford. Come on, man. How are we allowing that? Like, how is that allowed to be a last five games of the schedule?
Well, we also need to remember this is not going to be this way for very long.
Because they've got
some of the agreements with Clemson coming down the road. Like, they are making efforts to make the schedule a little more challenging, if you will. But I also think, like, looking at it here, Southern Cal so far has been better than I thought they were going to be through 3 weeks of the season. NC State is certainly a lot better than I thought they were going to be coming into this year, 3 weeks into the season. And so I think there are still a little more challenging spots, but, I mean, you know, as like you said, everything goes their way. Their most challenging spots are at home.
Yep, and here's the thing as well. Like, this is why I have a hard time gauging Notre Dame, is because they're playing a different sport than everybody else. Like, they don't have a conference or a conference championship game to add an additional data point in the postseason in relation to earning their way to the college football playoff. And, John, I think it's an unfair advantage. Like, and I'm not just saying this as a part of a slant. I want you to think about this, okay? Georgia last year. Georgia enters the conference championship game. They lose their starting quarterback. They lose two starters on defense. They lose a starting offensive lineman. And they, like, they lost their entire identity of their team, almost, in the SEC championship game. What does Notre Dame get to do? They get 2 weeks off at the end of the season before the playoff, because they don't have to play in a conference championship game. So when every other elite team in the country that has battled through a genuine conference slate and that has gone through an actual schedule that is rigorous and traditional, they now have to turn around and play an additional game where all of their bodies are already beat up and wear and tear is at the absolute max. And they're going and competing for something that means something to that institution. And what does Notre Dame get to do? They're chilling on the couch for a couple weeks, getting to watch film on all these different teams, getting another recent data point for all these other teams in the film room, and they have a genuine unfair advantage in relation to the college football playoff, in my opinion, for that reason and that reason alone. And I don't think they're going to make the playoff this year, because I do think that there's going to be some level of integrity from this committee. You shouldn't be able to lose two games as an independent and still make the playoff, in my opinion. But it's just frustrating to me that there is a reality that Notre Dame gets to coast into the playoff with the last five games being Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, and Stanford, who might not win 17 games between the five programs this year. Maybe Navy's going to be a little bit better than that. But those are maybe the four of the five worst teams in the ACC. And then you're going to get an additional rest week and film week to scout everybody before the college football playoff. I think it's a large part of why they made the run last season. Maybe I'm alone in this opinion, and you can feel free to push back if you think I'm wrong or overreacting, but they go into these games where Penn State plays in a conference championship game against Oregon, and Georgia plays in a conference championship game against Texas. These guys are beat to death. They're beat to death, and Notre Dame gets to rest for 2+ weeks before the college football playoff. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I have moved on from trying to understand it. Until somebody holds Notre Dame's feet to the fire.
Yep.
And the ACC is at fault here mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am. It is what it is for me. Until we restructure things for Notre Dame, I am not going to waste my breath complaining about the favoritism that they get shown.
Yeah, I think
it just. To me, this is one of those is-what-it-is things in college football. You and I doing a segment for the next 5 minutes complaining about how it's more difficult for other teams to make the postseason than Notre Dame is not going to...
It's not going to change anything.
It's not going to change anything.
I think that's fair.
And, you know, is it... Like, as a non-Notre Dame fan, my late grandfather told me on Saturdays we pull for West Virginia and whoever's playing Notre Dame. Like...
I like that.
Like, I get it. But also, like, I would want that same setup.
Yeah, I'm envious of it.
Exactly. Like, a lot of us are mad at the Notre Dame situation because we're upset that we don't have it. So, good on you for pulling it off.
Yeah.
It's just where I'm at now at this point with Notre Dame. Go win a game. Go beat Purdue.
So, let me ask you this, Sean. And 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in with us. The big thing for me at this juncture is with Notre Dame, and we'll shift gears. We're about to talk some Vandy, South Carolina. We're going to talk some Oklahoma. We're going to talk some NFL as well. Final comment here on Notre Dame. I am of the belief that if you are an independent and you have two losses on your schedule, do you think that there is a way for them to crawl back into the favor of the national media, even though they don't have a ton of opportunities to notch those quality wins that it feels like they may need? Like, do you think a 10-2 Notre Dame team that runs the table, hypothetically speaking, has a good chance of entering that college football playoff field?
Yeah, they're on the road somewhere, but they're in.
Yeah.
They're in.
You think they'd get that 11 or the 12 potentially and they'd backdoor or maybe even the 10?
Yeah, 9 or 10. Yeah, they're on the road somewhere.
That frustrates me.
It does, but... You know, that's why you need to pull for Southern Cal or pull for NC State or pull for Arkansas or pull for Navy.
It's Quawkenized Trojans. Fight on, Quawk. Or fight on, Quawk. If you're listening out there right now, fight on. We got Maeva and we need him to beat Notre Dame. Let's grab Victor from the phone lines, then we'll get to Dre, then we'll take Danny's phone call as well. 654 Roar if you want to check in. Always a pleasure, Victor. How we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning, guys. Well, I thought about this all weekend, and... I heard Walt talk about it yesterday. I didn't get to listen a whole lot yesterday, so you guys may have covered all this, but I know Walt covered it. And, you know, I think what I'm disappointed with as much as anything this year with the team, and I addressed this with Falk and Ben last week, and didn't get much commentary on it, and that's fine. You know, being a music guy, you know, you only have to have one person in the orchestra that's playing in the wrong key or out of tune to mess the whole thing up, you know?
Yep.
And so I think what's going on is a system problem. I don't think it's a blame here, blame there. It's a system problem where it's not working like an orchestra. Is the conductor calling the horns in when the strings should be coming in, you know? And I hate to use all these music analogies, but I think that's what's going on. It's a whole system problem that hadn't been worked out yet. Not saying it can't get worked out. I hope it does. But the one thing that I do hope will change is I am so tired of hearing our coach say, oh, it boils down to one play. It's one or two plays. It's just one. No, it isn't. It's not one or two plays. It's plays throughout the whole game, and it's this season, and it's last season. It's the season before. And I'm thinking, I wish that somebody, because you're not going to get his ear, I'm not going to get his ear, I don't know enough about it for him to listen to me, okay? But I do know this. I know what we all see, and I know what the results of it are, because they actually do keep score in these games. Somebody like a Nick Saban needs to get his ear and sit him down, call him, say, hey man, let's have a cup of coffee, you know. Look, Dabo, it isn't one play. And until you face the reality that your whole team system is not working and that it's not that they're not playing well, you're never going to get this corrected as long as you keep telling yourself it's only coming down to one or two plays. That's just not true. It is just not true, and every single one of us that watches these games knows it. And I just wish somebody could get his ear that he would listen to. And I would love to hear you guys, what you guys think about that, but I heard Walt talk about it yesterday, and I said, you know what, I respect Walt a lot. I think we all do. So anyway, hey, that's what I got for today, and I hope you guys have a great day. Always love listening to the show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for checking in, Victor. 654 Roar is the number. Okay, listen, I covered a little bit of this yesterday. I get that a lot of people express frustration when they hear Dabo seemingly regurgitate similar talking points for losses. And listen, like, I'm a media member. I listen to all the press conferences. Like, I have to prepare for Tiger Tailgate on the weekends. I have to prepare for my show for 5 days a week where we cover a ridiculous amount of Clemson football, right? So I'm tapped into everything, too, and I have my own opinion and perspective on everything as well. This is what I would say in response to the people that are expressing frustration with the whole Sweeney commentary as far as it's just one play, it's a couple plays away. Well, the harsh reality of the situation is that Dabo Sweeney is correct in his assessment more times than not. However, this is where my problem would be. I think that the frustration is being hyper-fixated on the wrong element of this. Clemson should be better and the margin should be larger against the majority of these teams than it is, to where you shouldn't be putting yourself in position to lose by one or two plays. For me, that is a bigger issue than Sweeney not really even being dishonest in the press conference and saying he's one, two plays away. Because listen, guys, I mean, just objectively speaking and taking the emotion out of this and taking one giant step back, Dabo Sweeney is 100% correct when he says it's one or two plays away against Georgia Tech specifically. You ran the field goal unit on at the death of the game with a fire drill and banged a 55-yard field goal as time expired. That's the definition of losing by one play. But you should not be in that situation. And that is where my issue is. So, like, I get that people are frustrated when the head ball coach says something that feels like it's recycled to a certain degree. And listen, I don't agree with everything that Sweeney says, and we all have our own opinions. But for me, I think that more of the frustration needs to be fixated on the fact that Clemson should not be in that position in that football game anyways, and they should have put it to bed in the third quarter. You shouldn't be leaving yourself subjected to losing by one or two plays if you're a true national championship contending team like this team was built to be in the preseason. Is that fair, John? You think that's a fair way to, like, break it down?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
And, like, Sweeney's going to say what he's going to say. And in this specific instance, you were one play away from being in an uber-competitive game or going to overtime or potentially winning the game, but you shouldn't. That's the big issue for me is, but you shouldn't. So we're going to take a quick break. I know that everybody wants to share my perspective, and you're more than welcome to disagree on the phone lines and or the text lines. 654-ROAR. Couple more people getting in on the phone lines here right before break. We're taking Dre's calls first, and then we'll go down the line right after this.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security do not call. As Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
Power up your lunch, dinner, or football party with a visit to Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits. From their crazy good deep-fried ribs to their award-winning smoked Reuben sandwich to the best wings in the upstate for over 30 years. Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits has the winning team for game day or any day. Open Monday through Saturday with live music, karaoke, and more. 11028 Anderson Road in Powdersville and 1083 South Batesville Road in Greer. Kickoff in style with Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits.
Hey, y'all. Robert Kraft here, owner of Clemson Sock Shop, located inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square. Whether you're looking for funny socks, funky socks, practical socks, or nostalgic socks, we've got you covered. We're a family-owned small business and are sure to carry a sock that will make you and your feet smile. Shop with us Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays until 4 inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square, where it's always buy five, get one free. Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Owners, listen up. Is your lawn struggling right now? Your friends at TopDressing.com have a solution for you. They will aerate, overseed, and they can top dress your fescue lawn. You see this on the golf course all the time, and TopDressing.com will do this for you. Book a free quote online at TopDressing.com or call 888-850-1850. Tell them you heard about it on The Roar and ask your TopDressing.com for their special online at TopDressing.com. Call 888-850-1850 as TopDressing.com.
Hey everyone, Sam Jones here. Get ready to join us live this Friday night on the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles. This weekend we head to T.L. Hanna High School, where the Greenwood Eagles come a-callin' as the Yellow Jackets try to defend home field with their vaunted rushing attack. Join us this Friday night and every Friday night live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, TheRoarFM.com/listen.
Get everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Height continues here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Hey, real quick, before we hop back into the action, folks, you all know Chick-fil-A. Unless you live under a rock, you know Chick-fil-A. But nothing goes better with football than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Get your trays of nuggets, mini strips, and more. Herb, class of 82, and Carol, class of 84, know the importance of football and great food. So get on that Chick-fil-A app. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game. Really appreciate the folks at Clemson Chick-fil-A and Seneca Chick-fil-A for continuing to support the program. And again, if you don't like Chick-fil-A, there's something wrong with you. Let's get Dre in here on the phone line, 654-ROAR. Dre, good to hear from you. We appreciate the phone call, man.
Hey, what's going on, boss? How you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Very blessed. Just still trying to process this last weekend in the world of football, man.
Oh, me too. I mean, it's a sad week for the state of South Carolina. We both lost to nerds. So,
Quote of the week by Dre. No one's beating it.
We both lost the nerves, so nobody can trash talk nobody this week.
We're down bad right now, man.
As a matter of fact, me and my Gamecock friends right now are going back and forth with each other, giving each other reasons why our team is going to lose the game in November. So,
I think we're all collectively just kind of upset right now, Dre. But on your Gamecocks, at least, and again, like at least you got a built-in excuse because your quarterback went down. We don't even have that. We lost to the nerds while pretty much healthy.
I mean, but we do have. Hey, we lost on a walk-off field goal. They just got BTA.
They did, yeah. They got the belt. They got the belt. It was bad. It was bad in Columbia. And here's the thing for me, Dre. All the reports coming out this offseason about the transfer portal, I know it's kind of off topic on South Carolina, but the main takeaway of this game for me, in Vanderbilt 31, South Carolina 7, we'll get to talking about the game. They paid Aaron Noland that much money to come be the backup quarterback just to roll Luke Doty out there when Sellers got hurt? When I saw Doty out there, I was a little bit confused. I was like, oh, Shane like actually is going to do this. They paid that dude a lot of money to come down there and ride the pine in Columbia. And with some of the other issues on their team, you got to just question the usage of NIL funds and just kind of the dispersion of those NIL funds, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's definitely a fact, brother. Like me, I'm kind of biased because I coached on the same Little League team that Cutter Woods played on when he was growing up.
Yeah.
But I was an age group under him in his final couple years in Little League. So I'm kind of biased. I wanted to see my boy Cut Dog run out there and toss the pigskin around a little bit.
Hey, he can play,
but,
man.
You know. Oh, yeah. Really, man, with your last call, you hit what I was going to talk about on the nail on the head perfectly, man. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, Dabo's a coach. He's not going to come out here and say what we're all thinking when he has a whole locker room of players that's looking at him for leadership. As fans, I feel like that's kind of our job to say those things. I mean, you know, you don't want to get too rude or disrespectful with your comments because at the end of the day, you still 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, regardless of whether they're getting paid or not. It's your kids.
Agreed.
You don't want to get too wild with your comments, but that's our job as fans to call that out. Dabo can't say what we're – trust me, I'm pretty sure Dabo was saying one thing in that locker room, but in his head, it was a whole different speech going on in his head.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly
right. You know, he's just as frustrated as us, but at the end of the day, there's certain things he can and cannot say. But at the end of the day, I'm getting tired of just one more play.
Yeah.
Then why are we not out there making that one or two more plays?
Yeah.
We have the capability. You know, that's what I'm upset about. You know, I disagreed with Walt yesterday when he said there's enough blame to go around. When I look at our defense, it's one of those situations where, yeah, they can get some blame, but really you can't blame them because you see the change that Tom Allen has brought in just the short time that he's been with us.
Correct.
And you see the mistakes that we're making. They're more mental than anything. Those are the mistakes that are going to get cleaned up by the end of the season. Our defense is playing well enough for us to be 3-0 right now.
The defense has played well enough to win in all three games.
You held LSU to 17 points with the talent and the firepower that we have on offense. There's no reason why we shouldn't be throw up more than 17 points.
Yeah,
I don't
disagree in the slightest, Dre.
So that's my frustration there. It's just like, it's one thing if we just didn't have the talent and we just flat out sucked and this is the outcome of what we're getting. I can deal with that because, I mean, at the end of the day, what can you do when you don't have the talent to compete? But when you have the talent to compete, and I'm not sure if it's true, but I was looking up some of the players' NIL earnings, and I think somewhere where Kay had like somewhere close to 3.4 mil or something like that. And like I said, I'm not sure if it's true or not. But if it is a true fact that Kay is a $3.4 million NIL quarterback, what are we doing here? We were just talking about South Carolina mismanaging their funds. What are we doing here, honestly?
Yeah.
I'll take your comments off the air, boss, man.
Yeah, thanks, Dre. Hey, call back in more often. Appreciate you checking in with us, Dre. And there's a lot in there from Dre. We'll take Steven and Anderson here shortly after I kind of clear up a couple comments. So I get the frustration with Sweeney and the one more play thing. I do. I get it. I get that that's been kind of hyperfixated on. I kind of gave my takeaway there and defended Sweeney to an extent because, you know, again, I think what Dre hit on early in his phone call is 100% truthful, okay? My job is to host a radio show. If I had a bunch of people that I had to answer to on every Saturday after my week of shows, and they went back and they said, here are all the times where you slipped up with your lingo. Here's the times where you didn't get out of break on time. And they were criticizing and they were chastising me, and I was having to answer for all that. You have to think about the pressure and the emotion in the situation that Dabo Sweeney is in. And listen, I get it. Like, there's going to be people getting in. He makes $12 million. I know. It's public information. I know. I know what the contract looks like. I get that this is a part of the job. And I understand that fans are entitled to be frustrated when the team loses. And fans are entitled to be frustrated with the head ball coach's commentary at times. But Dabo is in, like, a complete crazy mindset where you are trying to process the emotions of winning or losing on a massive scale with massive implications that trickle all the way down the food chain, and then they put a microphone in his face immediately, and they're asking a bunch of difficult questions before he's watched the film. Like, I think a lot of this is when you do post-game press conference, and Brian Kelly actually said something about this, and it's a rare time I'll ever agree with Brian Kelly. When you put a microphone in the face of a head coach and he hasn't watched the film and you ask him about specific instances, a lot of times they're immediately going to go on defense because it's impossible to remember every play within every game, right? Like, these people are human beings too at the end of the day. Dabo's trying to process the emotions of winning or losing. And I guarantee you, nobody wants it on earth more than Sweeney, man. Nobody on earth wants to win more than Sweeney. Sweeney's the one that has to answer for all of this. So he's just as frustrated as all of us are, as Dre said on his phone call. And I get that it probably sounds like I'm going to war for Dabo a little bit, but I do think that we have to take into account that there is a human element to this, and he's getting put on the spot immediately after these games. I get it's part of the job, but, like, you're not going to get the flawless version of Dabo Sweeney that's going to say everything you want to hear or give 100% accuracy 20 minutes after he loses a game and the field gets rushed and the goalposts get taken down and you have all of these massive expectations in the preseason and everything seems to be crashing and burning. And then 20 minutes later, he's got a whole room of microphones in his face asking him some really difficult questions before he's watched the film of the game. Again, not just going to war for the guy to go to war for the guy, but, like, there is a human element of this that has to be considered. You're entitled to your opinion on his commentary. You're entitled to be frustrated. Truly, you should be frustrated because it's frustrating. The product has been frustrating. Some of the press conferences have been frustrating. But you also got to give the head ball coach a little bit of grace when it comes to these immediate after post-game and immediate after post-game losses with the press conferences. Let's get Steven and Anderson in here. 654-ROAR is the number. Steven, good to hear from you.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Dude. First of all, I just got to say, man, for your age and everything else that you're doing, man, you're doing a fantastic friggin' job.
Well, thank you, Steven. That means a lot.
But I will say that I think that what frustrates Clemson fans the most about the one or two plays is that we had to listen to Tommy Bowden for 8 years say one or two plays.
That's a good point. That's the best point made yet.
It brings up all those memories of all of that. So it's just, are we getting back to the Tommy Bowden era, or what are we doing?
Yeah, no, I think that's actually the best point made yet. And I do think that the way that Coach Bowden conducted himself in the pressers with some similar language and a couple of those things where, let's be honest here, Steven, and we could just be completely blunt, Sweeney's a lot more accurate by saying we're a couple plays away than Bowden ever was, right? That was more of an excuse for Bowden, where it's more of a truth
that
they persuaded. Yeah, but I do get that there's probably some fatigue with Clemson fans because of that. And Clemson fans should be frustrated, right? I know you guys want better answers from Sweeney. I know you guys want a different answer from Sweeney, but I'll wrap back to the point I made in the previous segment. You shouldn't be in the position to be one or two plays away. And that's my ultimate takeaway when Dabo says that. You should be putting games to bed in the third quarter and the fourth quarter and not have to worry about those type of situations.
I agree 100% because, I mean, the talent that we have on this team and everything else is just, I don't know what the disconnect is, but it's just one of those things. I think that's what a lot of Clemson fans are frustrated with Coach Sweeney is just we had to listen to it all those years under Bowden, and now we're hearing it again.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is.
There's definitely some fatigue prevalent within the fan base for those lingo.
Yes, sir. Saxon, man, it's been great to talk to you, man. And again, great job that you're doing, dude. I love listening to you.
Hey, I appreciate you, Steven. Call back in more often. You're welcome on the show anytime, man.
All right, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think, Steven, I think that's probably the best point made yet, which is that it sounds like it's coming from Tommy Bowden's mouth, right? And I get it. And I just, with Dabo, it's probably sounded like I've gone to war for the guy the last 2 days, but I really just think that Clemson is in a really unique position right now where there is an undeniable track record of losing a bunch of these close games at the horn in the fashion that Clemson has lost it. And that's been the ultimate takeaway. And like, listen, guys, I'm an alum. I was born, like, my first Halloween costume, I was a Clemson Tiger. Like, this is something I was born into, even if I didn't want it, right? Like, I had no other choice from birth onwards. I want the team to win. I don't hide from that. There are media members that try and hide their, I want the team to win. I don't hide from it, okay? I'm objective when I need to be objective, but at the end of the day, I'm just like y'all sitting on the couch at home. I want to win. I'm pissed too. I'm yelling at the television just like y'all. I'm one of you guys. I promise. I promise I'm one of you. I was at school at this institution a calendar year ago today. I don't know what to tell you. I get it. I get it. I was a fan before I was a media member. And this is just one of those where you have to know when to pick and choose your battles, and you have to know what to really get frustrated at. And I really just encourage everybody to realign their frustration to the product on the football field instead of what's being said out of the head ball coach's mouth. Because I think that's much more productive conversation, and I think that's much more fair criticism than when you're getting 20 microphones in this guy's face after he just took a big emotional loss and you're nitpicking every little word he says. I do this for a living and I screw up, guys. I screw up every day. John screws up every day. And we've done this for a while. It's just, there's a human element of this where you can't be perfect all the time behind a microphone. You just can't.
Right. I mean, the guy's been in the position for 17 years. There's going to be some recycled quotes. For me, I am way more mad at the play on the field and the performance by those on the field than I am about a comment that is made after the game.
Yes. 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 100% correct. And that's my main takeaway from this is, like, I've watched so much film and I've pulled so much data in the last 3 weeks of my life for Clemson football for the last 5 years that, like, no offense to Sweeney, and I listen to everything that Sweeney says, you know, with an official media capacity, including last night. That's just not, it's the least of my concerns what Sweeney has to say. Just truly. Like, what Sweeney has to say is not anywhere near as relevant as to what is being put on tape and what is being put on the football field to me on a week-to-week basis.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, what you put on tape is the most important thing. And now I do want to make sure, though, that we emphasize that I do want to hear Coach Sweeney speak. And in about 19 minutes at the top of the hour, we'll be carrying Coach Sweeney's press conference for you live.
Yes.
So I don't want to act he's not going to say anything of relevance today. But in terms of things to at least be upset about, I'm just way more upset at the play on the field than I am by the comments in postgame.
That's what I mean. Like, it's easy to nitpick commentary. Clemson has to play better. Clemson has to coach better. That's where my main two concerns right now. Play better, coach better. Quick break.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingalls Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education. and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing tie. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, playing tie.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Height continues right here on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. Final segment of an abbreviated program here today on a Tuesday. As we remind you, head ball coach for the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney, will be doing his weekly press conference, as he does every Tuesday at the 11 o'clock hour, coming up at the top of the hour. Sometimes Swinney goes short and we get a little bit of a mini segment on the back end. That is, like, we have no control over that. So stick around and listen to Swinney, and maybe you'll get us on the way out. Maybe you won't.
I not sure if we will be back on again, because we are going to carry. Tom Allen will be going to the podium after Coach Swinney. We are going to carry that as well as Coach Sweeney's press conference here at the top of the hour. So be sure to stay tuned for all of Hour 3. And Out of Bounds will be on campus today for Tiger Tuesday with some player interviews, which is always a good time. You won't want to miss that as well.
For sure. Quack always does such a good job with that, and Ben does too. I've actually really enjoyed listening to Out of Bounds lately. I try and get it as much as I can. Like, I know we all got
a nice little show, right? They've got there. Nice little program they put together in the afternoons.
It is, for sure. 654 Roar if you want to check in. Let's get Matthew from Anderson in here on the phone lines. Matthew, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for the phone call. What you want to get in and talk about?
Well, I'm a Clemson fan. I call in frequently. I really enjoy your show as well.
Thank you, man.
Doing what gets that out there. But I sit back. I've watched the game twice from this past weekend, and what I have come to the conclusion is, I think NIL is done ruined us, bud. I think it's over.
I get what you're insinuating. Let me steal the words out of your mouth real quick, Matthew. I think you're going to angle this towards the effort level isn't where it needs to be because all these guys have already been paid.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've seen hands on hips. I see receivers not fully running their routes. T.J. Moore. I mean, it's stuff that. And I love these guys. It breaks my heart, but I am also realistic. And I you know, the tape don't lie. Anybody that plays sports know you go back and you always try to get better, and it looks like we're not doing that. And I'll take it off there, and thank you, man, and God bless you, and God bless America.
Hey, thank you, Matthew. Thanks for the kind words, and thank you for getting in. And, so I was going to bring this up today, and we could save some of that for tomorrow as well, but for what it's worth, and again, I keep it honest on the program here. I think that's a large part of why all y'all listen. I don't think Matthew's that far from the truth. I've watched the All-22 tape of this Clemson versus Georgia Tech game two times back. I've watched the TV broadcast two times back. Get a couple different angles, get a couple different perspectives. I make my own notes during the games. I make my own notes when I go and I watch film back. One of the main takeaways for me on film 3 weeks in is that Clemson has guys quitting on plays on both sides of the football. And it's not just a handful of players either. People are going to make this a Clemson thing. This is happening at Alabama. Like, repeatedly and frequently. And for the sake of honesty, I do think a lot of it has to do with NIL. I think a lot of this is wrapping back to that human element and that human nature that we talked about with Sweeney in the press conferences. Like, these guys are also real human beings and people that have emotions and logic and the way that they want to live and conduct their life, and they process everything in their own brain. So just logically speaking, when these guys are receiving mass payments up front for their services before putting a product on the field, some of that incentive and some of that hunger dies. And that's just a natural part of being a human. And it's unfortunate to say, right? Like, you don't want that to be the case and you don't want that to be the reality. And it's also not everyone. And I want to make that clear and evident as well. It's not everyone. There are some people that are wired to where they're going 110% regardless of how many zeros are in their bank account, right? There are people that are going to bring that same energy every day. And for what it's worth, I think the quarterback is one of them. I know he's not playing well right now, but I really freaking hate this for Cade Klubnik because that kid does everything right, man. That kid does everything right. He does everything right off the field. He does everything right as a leader. He does everything right in the film room. And when we're angling this conversation, we're not talking about two, man. That's why this sucks more than anything else. Because no one wants it more than that freaking kid, I'll tell you right now. No one. Just isn't working out. Just isn't working out right now. And they're not in rhythm, and they're not in sync, and they're not in unison. But yeah, it's hard to ignore the reality of the tape, which is Matthew's phone call. And again, I'm honest. Clemson's having some receivers quit on balls. Clemson's having some loafing, some hands on hips. There's some guys on the D-line that are taking plays off, that are taking reps off, getting put on their butt. It is what it is. You can't. I bet Sweeney sees the same thing.
It's why my biggest reoccurring point yesterday was the highest compensated players on this team have to play better. You have to. This is what the money is for. Play better. Give more effort. You're right. I mean, we could blame the NIL, but you can argue against it or what have you, but what you put on tape is the evidence of the argument. And right now, the guys that we believe are being paid the most, the ROI is not there. And this is what comes with the new territory of being paid. You got to deliver.
You got to deliver.
And right now, top end guys on this roster are not delivering.
You're right. Your highest earners aren't playing like your highest earners, and that's a big part of the problem this year. And we can get mad at Sweeney until the cows come home about saying they're a few plays away, but he's not wrong. And if your best players had played marginally better in each of the first three games, then your outlook on the season looks vastly different right now. Seriously, I'm not going to give specific dollar signs because, number one, I don't know. And number two, even if I did, I wouldn't be saying it on the airwaves. But there's a lot of millionaires on this team, to put it generally. And the millionaires need to play like millionaires. Haynes and Anderson. Haynes, appreciate you checking in with us. How we doing, man?
Good, man. Long-time listener of the show. I enjoy just listening to y'all's content, man. Especially just being on the younger side of things and having that open-mindedness. I know there's a lot of boomers, if you will, out there that'll kind of hit on the same thing over and over again. But
well, I appreciate the kind words, Haynes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you.
So, but I wanted to talk about why I mean, I feel like we got out coached Saturday, and I feel like that's been a reoccurring thing for three games. But I would like to ask you your thoughts on why we didn't do just a last ditch effort there to do a, because they subbed their guys on to kick a field goal. And why didn't we try to late sub and run the clock out and let time expire?
Yeah, that's a question that I've seen asked pretty frequently throughout the course of the week. And to be honest with you, Hayes, I still got to do a little bit of homework as to what the rules are, because logic would lead me to believe that you should be pulling the Illinois and the Brett Bielema, right? And you should be walking off and onto the field and bleeding the clock as much as humanly possible. But I want to say, and again, I have to do my research on this to confirm, I want to say that when you're switching the units, and when you are switching to the special teams unit, that there is a different subset of rules as to what the timing of your substitution looks like. And I'm not 100% sure. I got to do some deep research into the rule book, but I do agree with you in totality that my thought in real time was, why are we not walking off of the field? Why are we not taking as much time as humanly possible so that Aiden Burr can't get out there and that the ref needs to be holding over the center and the time would have expired? I had that same thought in real time. I got to do a little bit more research on the rules. And I also would have liked to see Sweeney use a timeout. I would have.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. You know, take a late timeout there, even after he kicked it. You know, try to get a late timeout off and see if, you know, he kicks it again. You never know. You never know. He might miss it the second time. Who knows? Like, pull the Falcons back in. You know, the Atlanta Falcons against the Seahawks. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 2013, but yeah. But yeah, man, that was just one of my biggest points. And then, I took the under on West Coast yards this week. And
that's unfortunate.
Presumed to take a ball to the house for what, like 50 yards, 60 yards, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And but I was thinking in my mind that T.J. Moore, I just think every week that T.J. Moore is due. He's due. He's due. And then I just like to hear your thoughts on why we're seeing kind of a sophomore slump on T.J. Moore. But I'll take it off the air, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Hayes. Call back in more often. Really appreciate that, man. So here's the thing on one, being T.J. Moore. Let me get this straight. I think T.J. Moore projects as the best wide receiver in this room at the next level. But that does not always mean that he is going to be the best college football player. Like, there's a big difference in profile and level of effectiveness in the collegiate game versus the National Football League. So while I really believe in TJ Moore, the NFL player, we have not necessarily seen consistency from TJ Moore throughout the course of his Clemson career. And again, he burst onto the scene last year. He's a physical, big body guy that's going to make contested grabs. He plays with that swagger that you get from your wide receiver. Like, TJ Moore is your classic, for lack of better term, diva wide receiver. And guess what? You can win with those guys. The Eagles just won with A.J. Brown, who is significantly more of a diva than TJ Moore has ever been in his life. But he is from that crop of guys. And that's just the reality of the situation. So I think for TJ, the word I wrap back to is consistency. When you look last year and you look at the game log for TJ Moore, he didn't really get on the field versus Georgia, so I'm not going to hold that against him. Three grabs for 44 against App. One grab in each of the NC State and Stanford games, two grabs against Florida State, 4-4-5-2-3-1-6-3-9 is how he ended the season with receptions. So in his last, let's see, six games, he went from 2-3-1, jumped all the way up to 6, only caught three balls in the ACC championship game, and then was arguably the best player on the field outside of Klubnik in the Texas game. And then I guess maybe Jaden Blue, because man, was he great that night in Austin. But that's the word I write back to with TJ's consistency. Like, TJ Moore can be the best player on the football field if he is the same player each and every down. We talk about, you know, some of the stuff we referenced previously with like body language and effort level. That's something where I need to see an uptick from TJ Moore. Just to put it bluntly, he needs to be more of a consistent human being and consistent ball player for his team on a down-in, down-out basis, because he has all the talent on God's green earth, man. I know he hasn't had a great year, and he's had a couple drops, and he slipped a couple of times. This kid can freaking go and get the football. For him, I think it's just more between the ears at this juncture, John, than it is with physical football, you know, acumen. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think, honestly, I think that's the issue with just about everybody on this football team right now. It's all between the ears. You know, I thought the body language against Troy was bad.
Yeah.
I thought the effort he gave against Troy was bad. I thought the, you know, we talked about it last week when Wesco scores the touchdown against Troy, everybody is celebrating with him but TJ Moore. We talked about that. Like it, and I think you saw a little bit more of it on Saturday against Georgia Tech. I think we saw an uptick of it. I mean, Bryant Wesco doesn't score from 70 without T.J. Moore. And, you know, we're talking about praising and criticize fairly. I'm going to praise T.J. Moore here. Give him credit. Not only was he engaged blocking 15 yards down the field ahead of where Bryant Wesco was when he caught the football,
yes.
He drove the corner another 10 yards and then ran and celebrated all the way into the end zone and to the sideline with Bryant Wesco. Like, that's what you want to see. If he yes. continues to give you that type of effort when the ball's not coming to him, it's going to start finding its way to him.
T.J. Moore went from one of the worst graded run blockers on this team to the second best run grade blocker on Clemson's team against Georgia Tech on Saturday. A lot of these issues that we're talking about that were prevalent in the first two games, as John kind of alluded to, he fixed. So that's the next step, right? Like, natural drawn conclusion. Guess what? He's had a crap start to the season for his standard. He'd tell you that himself. He needs to catch more balls. He needs to catch the balls that come his way. He needs to be more consistent on and off the field. But he's got a chance to kind of hit the reset button. He's playing a trash secondary this week in Syracuse, man. The offense really needs to get things humming this week. This is a prime opportunity to build some confidence. It is. For one, for two, for everybody else that's been struggling on O, including the O-line. But with one, ball out this week. Give me the same consistent effort you gave me down the field, blocking your tail off against Georgia Tech, and hit the reset button on yourself in the bye week at the 1/3 point in the season. And say, okay, I got 8 games to go make some bread. Go make money, man. Go make money. You want to get paid? You want to play in the NFL? You got to be a consistent down-in, down-out receiver. Quick break, Dabo Swinney on the other side.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg.